Hello and welcome back to Access Point. This is a podcast about video game discovery. With me as always, Stuart from Get Into Gaming. Good evening, Stuart.
Good evening. Good evening, my friend. How are you keeping this evening?
I'm good. We're good. I'm just not touching any audio stuff, so nothing goes wrong. So, and I should be all right.
Yeah, we've been having problems of late, or I certainly have. My audio and PC, ever since I did a big update, it's just no longer really wanting to play ball. And I blame that, me having switched predominantly from Mac to PC in recent days and weeks. So I may be going right back, because so far I'm not enjoying this this PC experience. I've only ever used PC to play games, and nice. I've always been a Mac lad because that's just what I grew up on. But now I'm thinking of getting rid of it. Not rid of it, but it will only be my gaming PC rather than everything. So yeah.
A couple of days ago was the Nintendo Partner Direct. So was it a couple of days ago? I can't remember what day we're on now, but a few days ago it was the Nintendo Partner.
It was yesterday, Richard. It was yesterday as we're recording this.
Excellent. Time is passing fast.
Today is Wednesday at about 8 o'clock in the evening here where we're recording. And yeah, it happened 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So I know you've been busy at work.
Yeah, it's been a long shift.
It's been a long shift. Bit of politics there. We'll keep it out of the podcast.
Yeah. So we just thought we'd cover some of the thoughts that we both watched it. And I had really mixed feelings about this one. So I thought it was important to bring up some of the points that we've discovered while watching it. And I'm not going to go through all the games because there was a fair few.
There was a few in 25 minutes. I was watching it at work whilst doing work things, with being on my screen and trying to avoid anybody seeing me doing non-work things whilst at work. And I kind of, I successfully did it. I hid myself away in the corner. But again, we're going to sound like moaning old men here. I didn't particularly enjoy it.
Yeah,
there was a couple standouts, and I'm sure we'll come to them. But for me, it was another one of those. I think we're just coming off the back of a summer of constant announcements. As we spoke last time, so many game events, so many demos, so many promos, so many trailers that I felt swamped. And it completely, again, I need to find my gaming mojo back. Otherwise, you know, I love video gaming, always have done, but right now I'm just not feeling it. How about you?
Yeah, I think whenever I watch these, I'm always looking for a reason to buy a Switch, and it keeps getting further and further away every time I watch one of these. And I was watching it, and every game that come up, I was like, no interest whatsoever. This looks like another game I'm not going to play. And it was so frustrating, and it was just getting worse. And like I said, I think there was three standouts for me that I was like, oh, cool. And that's as far as I got. And the rest, I was just like, absolutely zero interest in them. It's frightening.
Now, I'd have thought, had Hollow Knight, as I'm wearing a Hollow Knight t-shirt at the moment, had the sequel come out like we thought it was, exclusive at first on the Switch, I could see you popping out to buying one. Even just for, you have to have a copy of that game to play it and be relevant. Yeah. So you could have put down your £300 or so on that. But you're still not fazed. That Direct didn't make you run down the shop with your £300 and slam it on the table.
Absolutely not. I tell you what, the first one I'm going to start with was the Mega Man collection. And that sums the whole thing up for me. Like, wow, we've made, I don't know how many games was there, 12 games or whatever. It's like, look at all these 12 games you can get. Yeah, you can get them in other places. Again, it's felt so lazy. It's like, just make a new Mega Man game. I don't like Mega Man. I feel bad for all the fans because they're just getting remakes and re-releases. And I was just thinking, come on, man.
I got to challenge you there on the lazy. What makes you feel, again, can you elaborate on why? Because that could get picked up on. I mean, I'm not going to comment myself. I think it was the fans or people have been wanting it again in this new place. But you're right. Stuff is available elsewhere. Something new? Was there anything new? Did I miss something? Was I not paying attention? On the Mega Man franchise, I mean.
No, it was just a re-release of all the games in one place. I mean, I suppose that's one benefit to it. But it's just, I don't know why they don't make a new Mega Man game. Why? It's just frustrating me seeing games being re-released on new platforms all the time, when the amount of effort they go into collecting them, I don't know if they've remastered them, I've no idea. I just felt like they should just make a new Mega Man. That'd be so much more popular than a collection of Mega Man games.
You know, I'm going to pick that one up. As a Switch user, we have 4 Switches in this house.
Oh, jeez.
I have one, my wife has one, the 2 children have one as well, mostly driven by lockdown where there was nothing to do. And a 2-week hotel quarantine when we moved from the Netherlands, which that was enough to drive anybody to just playing Switches all day. I've made this joke before. There was 2 weeks where I was looking at my son's usage on the Switch via the app and going, well done, 12 hours in this day. That's not bad going, son. But I'm a big fan of Mega Man, absolutely adore it, and I will probably pick them up again so I can have them when I'm out and about. That said, the commute, my Switch used to be my commute. I had a long hour and a half there and back in my job in the Netherlands, and I would take that with me on the bus, and it would sit with me. I don't have that commute anymore. I have a 10-minute cycle ride, which obviously, unless I'm going to be very special and show off, I'm not going to be cycling with the Switch, but I still do pick it up, particularly if there's something on the TV I don't want to watch, and I'll sit next to my wife, or I won't play it around when it's just me and her and the kids. But no, I can see myself picking it up and playing Mega Man just for the lols and just to think, you know, might as well pick it up. But I understand your points, absolutely. So what else? Come on, you and I were of that generation. Return to Monkey Island gameplay trailer.
Yeah, it's a point and click though. I don't like point and clicks for me. I appreciate the Monkey Islands, and I remember getting stuck all the time as a kid trying to play Monkey Islands. And I just don't like point and click games, so no good to me.
Can you remember what you played it on? What was the platform you played most of your hated Return to Monkey Island games from when you were a kid?
Oh my god, it was. I don't even know what it probably was, either the Amiga 500 or 1200. Or I don't know if it had it on the Commodore 64. I don't think it did. I don't think it was out on that, was it?
The last new Monkey Island game we had was 1991.
Oh, I was 10.
So we're talking, mine was definitely the Amiga 500, as you said.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I really like the look of the art style. I mean, the kind of, obviously it's still a point and click, but it's got modern sensibilities. It's, the art director is Rex Kroll, who did work on Knights and Bikes. I know. Did you play that one? Did you get past the punk song at the start?
I didn't play that, no.
Oh, that's something to add to your
oh, no, don't give me more.
There. Knights and Bikes was a great game in co-op. But you had to get past the first song, which was a really heavy-driven punk song, which was I Want to Ride My Bike, said very punky. And I remember almost not being able to play it just because of that song. And I kind of like my punk. I think you maybe do as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't mind some of it, yeah, as long as it stays heavy, heavy punk.
Heavy punk, okay, yes.
But I appreciate, I tell you what, I do like the fact that they've revamped the art style in Monkey Island. It feels a lot more relevant. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's up to date now, so I do appreciate that. And again, it was just too clever for me, Monkey Island. I just wasn't smart enough to figure out all the puzzles. It was very cleverly done, and you know, it was good writing, really good writing and humour. I was just, maybe I was like 10 or 12 years old. I just couldn't.
And when you're that age, like I would have been around there as well, do you remember having to swap discs constantly? There was like 12 or 13 discs. Yeah. And you'd spend half the time finding disc 3, disc 5, and then being worried that it wasn't going to work when you chucked it back in.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Those are the danger days, they were. Yeah, wow. So Monkey Island, yeah, a lot of people are going to be excited about that. I'm sure you're going to pick it up.
I certainly will. I mean, that's coming. It's published by Devolver Digital, and it is scheduled, put my teeth in, to be out later in the year. I think it's a Switch. It is a Switch exclusive at first on consoles, but then it was also coming to PC. I think it's a Switch exclusive. I've made notes, so apologies. If I am wrong, let us know via the accesspoint.gg, and again, you can find us on Twitter. So, many thanks for people who have contacted us and have been sending us good feedback about this pod now that we're back up and running. So really appreciate that.
Absolutely. How is it going to work as a point and click on the Switch? Will it work okay? I had a Switch for about a month, so I don't know.
Well, I'm guessing the touchscreen might be, well, it'll be used, and then you've got the cursors from the,
thumbsticks.
I don't know what you call them, the thumbsticks. There's a, the Joy-Cons, that's the
Joy-Cons,
one.
Yes, okay.
The Joy-Cons. I've been through three now, Joy-Cons, with the Drift.
Yeah, it's a constant menace, as I know, I remember. I mean, again, I only had it for a little while, and they all really felt flimsy to me. I was like, I'm not sure about this.
Actually, we've had no problems with my son's got the light, so they are inbuilt. So yeah. I was always worried that, you know, if those went up the Swanee, that's the whole unit gone. But so far, seems to be okay, and he throws that thing around, he drops it, he does everything with it you really shouldn't be doing. But so far, so good.
What about, so the first game I want to flag up is Blanc.
Absolutely. So the game for me of the showcase. Even better, had me more quote-unquote hyped than Monkey Island.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think this looks, it just looks gorgeous, doesn't it? It just looks so, and the fact that it's based on the two characters and the game is black and white, which means you're concentrating on the sort of relationship between the two characters. Your focus is on the characters and on the puzzles rather than just all the scenery. And it looks gorgeous, but I mean, obviously it's just black and white.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen this, this is a game, it's the new game from Gearbox Publishing and Casus Ludi. And as my esteemed colleague said there, it's hand-drawn, it looks so gosh darn cute. And it features a little wolf cub and a tiny fawn separated by their respective families by a snowstorm. Again, as you said, it's completely black and white. And I understand it's a co-op game.
Yes.
Is it only to be played co-op?
No, you can play it single player with the AI or with a co-op. I mean, I'm sure, like any of those games, it's going to be so much more enjoyable with somebody, with the right person, I must add.
Yes.
Not just anybody. You can't just play these games with anybody because you have to find someone who plays the same way that you do to enjoy it.
It's one of those games that I'll play both in couch and online. I know the couch one will be fine because I know who the person I'll play it with. We know each other's playing styles and it'll be fun. You go online, who are you going to come up against? I say come up against. That sounds like it's adversarial. This is a co-op game of cooperation. But, you know, you're going to get, like in any other game like this, somebody popping up just to have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Because I loved how it reminded me in some ways of the Ben and Dan series, particularly the last game, without the crass humour.
Yeah.
In that, you know, certain characteristics of the characters seem to lend themselves where they have to do certain things.
Yeah.
Like jump up to a higher point or squeeze through something. And I just thought, you know what, if this is done as cleverly as I think it's going to be, it could be exquisite.
Yeah, it's going to depend. I think a lot of it's going to depend on how they build the story and also how long it is, because they either tend to go, they're either too short and you think, oh, I wanted more puzzles, or I wanted more stuff, or they really drag it out and then you're thinking, oh my God, where's this ever going to end? So it's really important to get a game like that with the length spot on. So I'll be fascinated to see how they do that.
How long would you like to see it?
Well, if you're thinking about playing it co-op, I think you really want a game like that, you really want to play it in maybe sort of two sessions together. So I'm thinking, I don't think I'd want to see it longer than sort of 5 or 6 hours for me.
That long? I was going to go about 1.5 to 2.
No, because I think if you're playing it with someone and you're playing it for 2 to 3 hours per session on average, I reckon that's a fair gameplay session. So if it goes up to around 5 hours as a full game, I think that's okay. But hey, that shows the difference and how important the time is.
Will you be able to jump in and out of the co-op? So, for example, you start your game, you get 3 hours in and have to duck out. Do you think you'd be able to restart that game and find another AI partner or another real human to join at that point?
That'd be interesting.
That would be really interesting.
That would be interesting. Or whether you have to start your own game to play it solo. Yeah, I don't know. And again, I don't know how complex the puzzles are going to be. Are they just going to be just jumping on ledges, or are they actual, like, is there stuff that you have to stop and actually think about it as a pair? But how do we get through this? How do we get that box to come down here and jump on? I don't know how complicated it's going to be. So that will depend on the gameplay as well.
I kind of hope so. I think that would add something to it. But I also love the fact that there is no text. It is a completely word-free game, which is the Mr. Bean approach to localization. So you don't have any any speaking really, apart from, you know, that was the whole point about Mr. Bean when he set about, he wanted to have something that could work across every single culture and without need for the language, hence why he really doesn't say too much here. And I think this could be, honestly, it's out next year, I believe. It's coming to the Switch and Epic on PC in February of 2023.
Interesting.
So yeah. That's going to be on the watch list and ones that I will be really looking forward to seeing when I probably do my games that will come out this year video in January of next year, and then watch at the end of the year when less than 10% of them have actually come out.
Yeah, I feel you. You think, why did I create all that video?
Keeps the videos from the past keep coming up and biting me in the backside for those, because I can do it all over and many, many times again, and it just says, no, this didn't come out. Yes, I know. That didn't come out. Yes, I know. So there we go.
That is well, hopefully this isn't one of those.
No, I hope so too.
So that was the one I was genuinely excited about. I thought, oh, wow, cool. But now I know it's on Epic. I won't be buying a Switch for it. The other one is The Legend of Wright. And now,
I know I saw it. I didn't register for something that I thought was possibly for me. But please let me know and the listeners know why I should go and care about that game.
So this is a hand-drawn game where you are inside a sketchbook, and while you're sort of going through the story, you are physically like scribbling in and out parts of the drawing to make things happen. So you get an eraser, as it were, and you scrub out the road so he can get through. Very clever, but I saw that it took him 16 years of conception on this game and 10 years of development.
Sorry, say that again. 16 years conception and 10 years development.
Yeah.
26 years. Now, so longer than an awful lot of people listening to this podcast will have been on this green earth.
Yeah. So I hope I don't know who the developer is on this. I hope they've got everything they've wanted to out of this, because after all that, you should hope that they've got the whole thing exactly how they wanted it.
I think that's fascinating. You can dedicate the best part of a quarter of a century and a year more to doing something that is your creative, just what you want to do.
But it's called RPG Time, The Legend of Wright, and Wright spelt with a W as in a builder, creator, Wright, not a, you know.
I think the only other one I was really excited about, but again, it's something I've played many times before, and that's The Portal Companion, which came out on Tuesday.
That's my third one too.
There we go. I mean, it's one of the best first-person puzzling platform games of all time.
Absolutely. I absolutely adore it.
Will I pick it up? Yes. Have I already picked it up? Yes.
Yeah.
So I was playing it at lunchtime today. I took a rare... I actually had a lunch break, because it's not the thing you do, really, ever. Isn't that so sad? Who has a lunch break? Apart from people who are mandated to have lunch breaks by
me.
By laws.
Straight on it.
Oh dear,
Portal is, it's one of my favourite all-time games, especially Portal 2. I mean, it's absolutely genius. It's so good. And again, massively depends on who you're playing it with, because you can have a real laugh playing that game. And if you leave it long enough between game sort of sessions, you forget half the puzzles because there's so many. So you can replay this.
Oh, undoubtedly. It's got replayability, which is why I really found it. I was sitting on a park bench, just going through it and thinking, I know this puzzle, but I can't remember, so I'll have a play. And then, poof, away it went. I was playing it by myself. I haven't yet gone online with it. But it feels funny to have owning this game yet again on yet another platform, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
Yeah, this is one. I'll let them off. I'll let them have this one. I'll be good to them, because it is worth it. And then briefly, I just want to mention... Bomberman, again, I used to love the original Bombermans on the SNES. Wicked games, really cool. I know Bomberman R, whatever, wasn't well received. I didn't play it, but it wasn't well received, the original one on the Switch last year or whatever it was. And this looks very similar to that, so don't know what to say about that. Hopefully they've corrected it, because Bomberman's amazing.
Bomberman used to be absolutely fabulous. It's like Mega Man. I spent so many hours of my youth playing these deceptively simple yet highly enjoyable and quote, I'm not going to say quote unquote, because I said it earlier, slap my wrist. It is just addictive in a kind of wholesome positive way, but honestly, that was really it for me for that Nintendo Direct. And
yeah, Sonic looks like it had a lot of work to do as well. It was very, you know, there's lots of like assets loading in one, in even in the demo, you know, even in the gameplay they were showing, you could see like rocks appearing at a distance and disappearing, thinking, wow, this is looking a bit shoddy. But
I mean, it's been, yeah, it's been a fairly shallow week for me playing games. I've been playing a game again, I can't talk about it because it's covered by embargo, but I've also been playing a game that launches, I think it's tomorrow. By the time this comes out, let me double check. When does the new Cuphead DLC launch?
I've not got August.
I think it's tomorrow. This is, again, awesome, awesome podcasting. For
right. Again, insights of how we work.
Get hold of our phones and start tapping away live. We should have had notes.
Notes. We don't make notes, Stuart. Come on.
No, not at all.
June the 30th, I think.
So tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So I've been playing that game. And this will go up after embargo is launched. I didn't enjoy it for the same reasons I didn't enjoy Cuphead. The difficulty for me as a somebody with busted fingers is just not. Just didn't enjoy it. And I could play it keyboard and mouse, but I don't like playing keyboard and mouse. Those sort of games I want to play with the controller.
Absolutely.
People who love this game, that love the difficulty, will love, capital L-O-V-E. They'll adore it. What made me chuckle as well is the game starts giving you it doesn't give you a overview of what you need to do. It basically assumes you know exactly what's happening from game one. Yeah, so it's Cuphead. It does what it does. It's difficult. I didn't enjoy it. Again, there we go. And I'm not going to go into too much details why, because I think people who follow us, follow this podcast, they'll know why I didn't enjoy it. But as I said to you before, people who do love it will absolutely adore it. And the challenge is there for anybody who wants to accept it. But no, thank you. Not for me.
Yeah, I shan't be picking it up. I played the first one for about 6 hours and I enjoyed it until it got just frustratingly difficult and it just started to get on my nerves. And I was like, do you know what? I've got a million games to play. I don't need to be getting annoyed by a game anymore. So I just stopped and I've no interest in it now. It's super impressive. I love the art style. It looks brilliant. But just too annoying for me.
So what's your plans? You got anything gamer-wise this week?
Well, I will touch on, I did a live, I've done three live streams last week.
Wow.
I was on fire and I was playing so many demos and by far the best game I played was Cult of the Lamb. Oh my God, that is so good. It's so good.
So what is it? What is it about Cult of the Lamb that ticks all the boxes?
For me, I think it's the setting, the fact that the story of, you know, that you are, so again, I'm not going to spoil anything, you find this out instantly. The fact that you are a little creature that's just been sacrificed to the underworld and you get a reprieve of from the bad man to say, look, hey, I can save you. You can get revenge on those people. You just have to set up a cult in my name.
Well, that's nice.
And then you go back.
It's Devolver Digital again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then you just go around bringing little other creatures that you rescue into your cults and getting them to do jobs for you and work. And it's just, the artwork is gorgeous. It plays really well. There's a nice mixture of like crafting and adventure and story. So can't wait. I finished the demo and I was like, no. So that's a good sign.
Do you know when it's out?
It's out in about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I think. Ooh. I've already bought
out
it.
In July.
Yeah.
July's looking really good. Normally the summer months are, no, you guys can go off to the beach and leave your computers at home. But so far, July does look like an absolutely stonking month. And a month that I must actually start to get back to get into gaming the YouTube channel, which has been 6 months on a hiatus. But it's time to start. It's time to start that up. Maybe doing the odd bit of live streaming again.
Yeah, well, it'd be good to see you back because, I told you your channel is dangerous because I spend so much money watching your videos. But I think what people don't understand is it's really, really difficult as a creator to come back after a long break and start recording and putting together a video and just getting back on the microphone and talking and planning. It's really hard to do. It only gets easier when you start doing it regularly. And so I understand what it's like when you're trying to come back.
It's interesting as well because, you know, I changed careers and now I am by day editing audio, video and filming and recording for broadcast. So I've been doing that and I I'm itching to get back. I just have to find the right vibes to come back as well, because I feel like doing something different. I feel like more opinion-based review stuff. Like the most fun I had last year was when I did the Death's Door review, which took hours and hours, but it's the best thing I think I've ever done creatively, ever. And yeah. Sorry, I'm just digressing, because everybody at work's getting COVID again, and I've had it before, but I just did a test before coming on, and I can see that it is negative. Yay. So I say yeah, but it means I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
positive. I could have sat in bed for 12 days or so. Fingers crossed, as long as I didn't get it too bad. I mean, I'm double vaxxed and boosted, so I should be okay. But hey, so it's a negative there. But yeah, coming back, I'm looking forward to it. I just want to do things slightly differently and come back refreshed. So will it upset some people? I'm sure it will. Will I find a new audience? I hope so. But in the longer term as well, I think I need to start relooking at the title Get Indie Gaming. Because indie gaming 5 years, 6 years ago when I started was very different to what it is now. But that's my niche. People know me for the indie stuff. But yeah, I think indie is now largely cultural in terms of what it means. But I think I should have some more structure into the games I cover based upon money, how many people are doing it, all that sort of good stuff. But yeah, I mean, I am coming back.
Good. Well, that's the joy of having this podcast. That's why we didn't make it an indie-only podcast. I mean, like I said, we're naturally going to be talking about indie games because it's generally what we both play most of. But it just allows us just to push into games that aren't indie and not correct. Think, oh, we can't talk about them because it's not indie. So that's why we have a neutral name.
Hence the Elden Ring podcast and the game I've now sunk over 130 hours into.
Have you? It's amazing. And absolutely amazing.
I've still only defeated... I got rid of... I can't remember the names. It's been a while. But I say a while. I played it about 4 hours ago. I just like dipping in and out of it. But you can...
You can. Yeah,
you can dip in and out, or you can start playing at 10 in the evening and suddenly it's 4 in the morning and, you know, be up soon.
Funny enough, what we haven't actually spoken about at all is the new Turtles, not Turtles in Time, whatever, Shredder's Revenge, yeah. New Turtles
I think game. That's next episode, because both you and I have played it.
Yeah.
My son, who's 12, has played it. I think it's age rating 12, I hope so. But he obviously has no cultural reference to those characters, but he absolutely adored it. And he thought the writing was so funny, but he had no idea what cowabunga was and, you know, pizza and, you know, anchovies. But I had a chuckle watching him play it. But I tell you what, let's talk about that next time.
Yeah, we
next
will.
Time
absolutely. When we're back. That'd be an interesting one. Yeah. Well, we've already spoiled it. It's amazing.
No doubt I'll have put another 20 hours into Elden Ring.
All right, okay, well, that wraps up this Nintendo Partner Direct podcast. Awesome to talk to you again, Stuart. Thank you very much.
And, superb. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
You can find all the show notes in the, believe it or not, the show notes. So you can find our emails, you can find our Twitters and all the places to contact us. And we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, everybody.